ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the French Connections Tuesday edition. Hope everybody had a great vacation. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. It's wonderful that you are tuning in today for more of the information we would love to share with the entire world. So we're going to have a great interview today. I've got a friend of mine on from Virginia. If that doesn't tickle your fancy a little bit here, maybe I'll try to lead you into who it might be. She's been fighting for the truth for a very long time, and had a first-hand experience about how the system really works. She knew as a young girl that it was an elitist system of control, and her experiences carried on into her adulthood. And she reported on some of these things, and many people tried to dismiss the information that my guest provided everyone. But in fact, what's happened is, as I've learned more about these conspiracies and these crimes, I've learned that Kay Griggs, my guest today, is more often right on the money than anything else. And in fact, I'm learning that the people that she talks about are really the controllers and the movers and shakers in these elite groups. So I'm going to bring her right up. Kay, are you with me?
I'm here in Virginia. Sure am.
Well, you know, Kay, I got to tell you, like I said in this little intro here, you know, the more I look into this, it is an elites club. They've been perfecting their draft system. In other words, bringing people up through the ranks for a long time. And, you know, people don't understand. They think that you know, people just walk into this job, but they're actually kind of groomed for this over a long period of time, aren't they?
Well, yeah, they're recruited psychologically, and the pattern, I believe, has been set up for a long, long time, because the more I do research into the backgrounds, the family and social backgrounds, of some of these people whom I have known personally at the highest level in Virginia politics and in the circles, the legal circles and so forth, they're groomed to be able to be handled or to be controlled through weaknesses.
Now, not only the weaknesses, and we'll talk about that. I mean, they use things like, we've said it on the show many times, homosexuality, prostitution, pedophilia, if they get you on the hook for embezzlement or whatever, basically what they do is they hold this over you, and you would never make it to the second level. You might get to the first level without having committed a crime, but you'll never go on to the second, third, and fourth levels unless they've got something on you. Am I correct in thinking
well,
that?
Absolutely. Just as in the case of, Larry William Frawley, who was an Annapolis, you know, member of the official Christian Fellowship group.
Yep.
He was a well-known pedophile, and he was quoted by a former NSA high-level person, Wade Madsen, who's written some wonderful scholarly books telling the truth. A quote in there that Frawley was saying, If you're on that level, you'll make commander. In other words, if you're within the pedophile blowjob crowd, White House crowd, if you're a closet queen, then you're gonna make it to the top.
Well, you know, we've had our differences with Wayne Madsen's work because he always seems to stay away from the Israeli Zionist Zionist top of the line stuff. He kind of doesn't go after that, and we've had some very I don't know, uncomfortable times with his work. Now,
a lot of people I find do ignore that particular and very vital part, possibly out of fear.
It's possible, isn't it? I mean, especially if you, you know, somebody's running around Washington. But what we know today is that this group came into America as long ago as the 1760s with very large sacks of money to set themselves up. You and I discussed this afternoon with the New Bohemians, and you knew in Virginia politics that certain members or groups among the Jewish elite were having very bizarre sex parties and New Bohemian style types of engagements way back when, weren't they?
Well, absolutely. In the Zionist group in Norfolk, which I've been studying, which took over Masonic Temple Number 1 as a history major in Virginia history before I married George. I sort of, you know, was very interested in our war for independence, and I had a grandfather who was in the Masons. He was a Scottish Rite, you know, person, and so when I found out that my husband's lawyer and the three judges in my case were all Zionist Jews, all in Masonic Temple Number 1, and of course it was after they'd already ruined my case. I mean, just, you cannot believe what I went through. Bernard Friedman was just a lower court marriage judge, and immediately after he intervened in my case, he became a federal judge. And this, they get paid off this way, but the Masonic Temple Number 1, they always want to be number 1, and they always are very insecure, and so they want to take over organizations.
Well, here's the interesting thing, because it is a network that is, well, let's go back in history a little bit, and we talked a little bit about how Mr. Weishaupt, at the urgings of the elite bankers, and when I talk about the elite bankers, many people believe billionaires are the elite club. We're not talking billionaires. We're talking about thousands and thousands of billions in their control. There's only about 5 or 6 families in the world that can claim that kind of wealth. That would make Bill Gates seem like a pauper by comparison. And when we talk about that group, what we see is that these guys arrived in America. They were already here as moneylenders, but they were not here in control of the political structure.
Right.
And what they did is they came into those Scottish Rite halls, those Masonic halls, and provided good loans and good money to people at very reasonable rates, and got themselves ensconced in the system quite easily.
Well, now in Virginia Beach, for example, a person who's joining a Masonic group down there at the beach, they're given $20,000 to join. So, you know, if you're a poor carpenter or something, you're down on your luck. But the problem is, once you join and once you sort of see what's going on, and it was a Navy admiral who gave this one boy I interviewed recently a job, or I mean, you know, inducted him in. You know, you see certain things that go on, you're hooked. But in Virginia, guys like Uriah P. Levy, who is one of the early 1776 sort of Navy Commodore types that they brag about, he was a really big crook in a hood. But because of his connection in France with the Rothschild family and the Parisian,
Grand Lodge of the Orient.
Yeah, Uriah P. Levy's wife was a belly dancer. You know, I mean, but the point is that they were totally connected to these anarchist revolutionaries who had money and who were funding wars because it was profitable. And the War for Independence was founded by you know, sort of a conduit through the Rothschild loans. And George Bush's ancestor, two of them, were Jewish members of this elite. I mean, this was in a book about the elite Jewish family. And,
Solomon Bush was one of them, wasn't it?
Solomon and George Bush, they were brothers.
Yep.
In this book, I mean, it's a Xerox book that is in, I think it's in, trying to think of the title of the book. I don't have it right here. But I've been sort of tracking the 400 Club in Norfolk and Tidewater because of their connections with Meyer Lansky and with Nathan Sharansky's group and the Jewish Agency for Israel.
Yeah.
There's a very, you know, they've all won the Ben-Gurion Award, and they're all connected to Meyer Lansky. And And I just think that they have divided loyalties. And how can they be American when they condone the false flag murders of people, and they intimidate people, and they rule through secrecy and subversion?
And not only that, the goals that they set, many people, and we talked about this as well earlier, and have in the past on private calls, that many people want to, you know, to say that this is a religious divide. And what I've come to understand after having spent time studying this is that the Jewish community, both in Israel and in America, has swallowed the entire lie, hook, line, and sinker. And their entire community has been they've been lied to more than anyone, and they believe the dogma. They believe, you know, we're the chosen and this and that. And they have become the frontline managers for these people, haven't they?
Well, yeah, I think the most elite, and I think the sad thing is that they use words like elite and special, because so many people are insecure within themselves, and they either want money or prestige or something, and that they feel as if they hang around people with money, like Oswald with the homosexual Clay Shaw and that whole crowd, or the guy who murdered the dress designer in Miami who went all the way. The point is they recruit young boys whom they can use sexually. And this has been going on for a long time within the White House, within the elite old guard at Fort Myer, well known to people like Chuck Colson and so forth. And, of course, not just within the Roman Catholic Church, but and I don't know how to solve the problems, but when you know that there have been assassination, false flag assassination operations and mind control, for instance, actually the Israeli Defense Force group have been in Iran for a long time and were essentially training some of their intelligence officers and sabotaging plane sales to Sadat or to the Egyptian government by blowing up planes that individuals are on. And this is they are totally preoccupied with this, and I sincerely believe, in fact, I am sure that 911 was an Israeli special quote unquote operation to scare us.
Well, the fact is all roads do point to them. All the evidence does, every bit of it, with Silverstein, with Frank Lowy, with Lauder family making the transfer of the buildings to Silverstein possible through his connections to Pataki. Mm-hmm. And you know, and then you look at the dancing Israelis, the art students, the moving companies, the people who had access to the information, the Odigo warnings. Odigo gave all the Jews a warning that morning to get out of the building and not show up to work. All of those things have been proven, Kay.
And the Pentagon, too. Dov Zeicham, a rabbi, was head of the treasury, you know, the financial wing of the Pentagon, and that was the only part that was blown up. And a friend of a spy who is trying to handle me, who worked with the Justice Department, a Zionist anarchist, claims to be one, I can't believe it, claimed that he was working for Dov Zeicham and a Jew in the Pentagon and was warned that morning not to come to work. And all of the financial records of the Pentagon were destroyed.
Yep. So that Dov Zeicham thing, that's where that $2.6 trillion is missing.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just, I believe the reason they're trying to destroy this country is because I was on somebody else's internet, because I'm not on it, but it said that the Zionist, the Committee of 400, the Norfolk Zionist group, is very angry with the United States and Britain because we are a country where we allow people to talk. We can still say what we think and feel, and even if we know we may be targeted some time down the road. But there are, I read that there are 22 sites that the Zionists, Israelis, don't like, that have this Al-Manar broadcast, which are, broadcast out of Baltimore or wherever. And Great Britain has sites that these, it's called Memrit TV. They monitor Arab channels. And they, I believe, are the ones who had Sadat murdered there. They do these Purim murders. Bush announced that he was going to bomb Iraq on Purim. And they number each and every one of these every year. Purim is in March, and then they have murders in October. So I'm worried that they're going to, something awful is going to happen in October. But they murdered their own, and they murdered Sadat. And it was all done according to the rabbinical calendar. And
now, that rabbinical group we've discovered is a group called the Chabad Lubavitch, Lubavitchers. Mm-hmm. And that's where the Dov Zolkheim is a rabbi with them, and so is Ari Fleischer. And we found connections all across the White House to this group, the Chabad Lubavitch.
That makes sense, because Rabbi Goldstein, certain rabbis enjoy murdering people. Now, I don't like Pat Robertson. He's a Marine, and he's in the intelligence. He's working with the CIA, doing all this sort of spying for Israel and everything. But I don't think that Pat Robertson himself would ever be praised for murdering innocent women and children.
Well, he supports the people who do, though, doesn't he?
Well, he does, and he says it's okay to murder people. And this is shocking. As I'm a Christian, I'm a Protestant Christian. I don't believe in hierarchies. I believe that every person has a right to learn truth, and I'm a pacifist in that I don't believe in murder. But but these rabbis, on the other hand, people like Rabbi Kahane and all of these guys over there, they're statues to thugs like Meyer Lansky in Tel Aviv. And this, I mean, wake up, America.
Well, you know, we've been asking people to just take a look at the basic facts. I mean, everybody's mired in, it's the Luciferians, it's this, it's that. And I said, look, wait a minute. There's a small group of people in charge of this whole thing. It's very simple if you look at the facts. All roads lead back to them. And, you know, of course, the truth is a dangerous thing. However, you and I discussed this earlier, too. I mean, one way or another, if we don't do something about them, they're going to get us anyway. If we just sit back and make believe it's not happening, we're goners. And if we don't, if we try to do something, we may be goners. But I would rather go down telling the truth about these people than to let them just, chew away my freedom, chew away my right to associate and my ability to run, design my own future. That's not happening anymore in this world. We know that this socialist idea, and I'll go back to that in a second, because that the Scottish, the Grand Orient Lodge in Paris, interestingly enough, was the main center for a lot of this through Rothschild, and it came after the king was deposed here.
Sure.
Now, the Mossad happens when Israel was formed. Did you know that the Mossad got all their training by the French?
Well, there are a lot of things I could tell you that I started connecting when I was living with Sarah McClendon. I met people, and I was on a really questioning mode. And I started, I connected so many dots, you can't even believe it. But Jefferson, being one of my sort of favorite people, and I'm a Virginian and an old Virginian descendant of the Madison family, intermarried with a whole lot of other people, but Uriah P. Levy, this crook, this thug, who
lent money to Jefferson and put him in the poorhouse, literally, I believe, had him murdered. Uriah P. Levy's family took over Monticello immediately. They grabbed all the papers. They sorted, this is what these people do. They will burn books. They stole papers of mine, family papers. You cannot believe what I've been through. But the point is, truth is, it's light. And when you walk in truth and it's okay. We're all gonna die sometime. But
that's right.
I care about this planet.
Yeah.
You know, and Jefferson did too. And I believe it was a Masonic murder. Jefferson and his buddy Adams were corresponding with each other in Virginia. The Zionists, or whatever you want to call them, revolutionaries, were trying to take over the Masonic lodges in Virginia. And Jefferson was on to them. And so was Adams. They were corresponding by way of the mail, which were controlled by the little Philadelphia Masonic Lodge. So Levy and his crowd knew exactly what Jefferson was writing about. And also coming over from France, who solidified everything, Lafayette came over. And he and Jefferson talked. Lafayette told everything about how this revolutionary, the group that intentionally murdered Marie Antoinette,
And that's what that's the financing of the Jacobins.
Absolutely.
For the people listening.
And this was the seed of the same sick, mentally sick individual who misguided or whatever, who believed that assassination and murder can build a nation.
Well, you know, they've got a track record, Kay. Let's talk about a few of their success stories here. We know about Turkey. Turkey has fallen under their control. It did over 100 years ago, and it's still under their control. And Ataturk was actually a crypto-Zionist Jew. And the simple fact is they've never lost control of Turkey. The same is true with Russia. I mean, with that vast mineral wealth and that vast natural resource wealth, And such a powerful church, the Orthodox Church, very staunch against the criminal Zionist structure, they were able to get into that society, murder the king, with the Tsar, and then turn over and take over that country. Now you've had some studying about that as well, haven't you?
Well, absolutely. Stalin's wife was a Jewess. She was Rose Kaganovich. His son married one, and they felt that Stalin was in their hands. But what happened, Stalin found out that someone had been having sex with his daughter, and I'm not going to mention the name of that person, but the point is, Stalin, in about 1952 or 53, just as Hitler did, turned on the Jewish doctors. And they made fun of Stalin and said, oh, he's crazy and so forth. But the point is, they did try to murder Stalin, even though he had been sort of brought into the, and I think he was partially, and I'm keep in mind, I am not anti-Jew. I am anti anybody who would do these kinds of things secretly, thinking that they can win the hearts and minds of people by doing such things. Trotsky, his name was born. Castro's guru was Zikanovich or whatever.
And even as far back as Rasputin, who was involved in the highest levels of Russia.
Yes, he was very, very much a Jew. But the point is, you know, and I really think these people need mental help. I think they need something as a group. It's a cultural, they're very sad and pathetic people. And the when you have people who are mentally not right, and they're operating in secrecy, killing off honorable people like Patton. I mean, even though but Patton was murdered by Mark Clark Proud, and everybody knows what Mark Clark did when he got down there to Charleston, introducing the killing of the black guys, you know, in the secret society there at the Citadel. I mean, Mark Clark was a hood, and the whole army quartermaster corps has been taken over by these people. Everyone in Richmond knows this.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very corrupt people. They lie, they cheat, they steal, and they don't want records seen. They want everything done in secrecy. They revel in murder as their Purim holiday. The children are indoctrinated at Purim with these ears, bloody ears made, you know, with a little blood of some animal in the cookies. And Purim, which is a holiday in March, which Mardi Gras comes from, where, are you there?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Mardi Gras is a, holiday, which started with the Eyes Wide Shut, Stanley Kubrick masquerade, you know, but that is a Jewish nudist party, you know, when you have it in the Bekaa Valley. But
yeah.
The point is, it's really sick, and you have guys like Stanley Kubrick who got murdered because he was a Jew who was sick and tired of it. He knew that these people in Long Island and in Brooklyn are really very sad, pathetic people who condone the murder of good people just to have their way.
Well, you
there's some thunder going on.
Well, you know, you and I both know and I have friends in New York I've said this on the radio many times, that I used to be fed by my friend. She was Jewish, and she had a retarded child that I absolutely adored. And I've got friends growing up that were, you know, just a regular, you know, owned a small tailor shop or another family.
I have wonderful Jewish friends.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then,
my
see, the saddest part about this, Kay, I got to say,
huh?
is that you know, when I say that, people think it's disingenuous. It really isn't.
No,
because I have known
wonderful Jewish friends.
Yes.
Best friends. I mean, going way back, and George's roommate, I talk to him, he calls me all the time, and I love him. I mean, I really mean that, but as a group, when you have people plotting and planning to take over Jerusalem and not allow any Muslims there, and then they're creating these radical Hamas groups, in Egypt, and then the Hamas group all of a sudden starts doing some of the same things that these Zionists have been doing, murdering people. And
well, because they need an enemy, Kay.
That's it. And I think we've got to get on a level where we have people with who can discuss things civilly. I think women, mothers, these people are misogynists. They do not like intelligent women.
Mm.
That's their problem. You notice.
Yeah.
Look at the Knesset on C-SPAN. You won't find women even in the Bush circle. They're all, the wives are out in somewhere else. You know, when Wolfowitz had the change of command, no women. They're afraid of women.
Well, and here's the saddest part that we're facing now. They're pulling out all the stops to try to blunt our truth here, because, you know, we found out the facts some time ago. We began getting a great deal of traction on it, and you'll notice I talked to you today about it. You know, our numbers are up in the 15, 16,000, 18,000 a day crowd. So we're starting to make a big difference, and I got to tell you, our listenership is very well educated. They know almost what I do, and you know how much I know, Kay. So this group that we've been nurturing here and showing these facts to are a big threat to these people. So what they've done is the alternative press has come out and attacked us, and now this alternative press is replete with paid shills and liars. They say it's the Vatican did it all, and it's the Pope that did it all, and it's the, what else they have, it's the German death cult. But when you take a look behind all of these machinations, at the top of this group are always the same people. And they happen to be, or they claim to be, Jews. Now, you and I know also that they are a Khazarian heritage.
Right.
And they're not even one of the tribes of Israel, because they were converts in the 8th century, these people.
Absolutely. And one of the people I've been just discovered, and I don't know whether you've heard about him because there's nothing about him. It's kind of like picking up a book by Wayne Madsen and not finding anything about Zionists in there.
Yeah.
The Hitler's Commando, there's a book by Glenn Infield, Infield, Skorzeny, Skorzeny, Hitler's Commando, and it's very well documented. And the whole movement that, you know, sort of Clay Shaw and my husband and all of these guys in New Jersey, the Dulles faction, and some of them were very innocent in the beginning. But Skorzeny was, he was the one who got Mussolini out after the king sort of locked him up the first time, made him a hero. You know, it's like Hitler was locked up and it sort of makes him a hero first time. But Skorzeny wound up with this banker guy who was connected with all of the, with the Rothschild wealthy set in Paris and down, you know, in Biarritz and on the, you know, Nice and Cannes and that whole crowd.
Mm-hmm.
But the banker, his name was Halmar, I think it was Schacht, S-C-H-A-C-H-T. He was like August Belmont and Judah P. Benjamin, an operative for this Rothschild group.
Mm-hmm.
And in other words, he's a front man.
Yep.
And they all were in Spain in the 50s.
And now, this is under the protection of course, one of their minions, Franco.
Absolutely. And Frank, you see, well, I won't go into too much of that, but the point is, this guy, Skorzeny, people need to know and learn a lot more about Colonel Otto Skorzeny. My phone may go out because we're having lightning here.
Oh.
But Skorzeny was, he trained in mind control.
Yep.
As did General Schwarzkopf's father. The New Jersey mob were Germans who were all under the original group who put Hitler into power. Are you with me?
Yeah, German Jews or Germans?
German Jews. And
yep.
In other words, the Meyer Lansky era.
Yeah.
When they were using the Sicilian mob, and they want everybody to think that the mob is all quote unquote Sicilian mafia, you know. But it's not. The people who were controlling them, the Murder Incorporated crowd, were Zionists and are to some extent. I mean, still very much so.
Yeah.
But they, when Skorzeny, who had control of that whole Odessa group, the alumni of the SS, and they had lots and lots of money that they were sort of moving around from Swiss bank to, Austria, Argentina and so forth. But Skorzeny was doing a lot of work, sort of using the CIA Zionist cover, but in other words, the CIA is controlled by Zionists, pretty much so,
yeah.
I believe, anyway. And the
well,
army,
it is.
The army,
army intel as well, isn't it?
Yeah, oh yeah, and MI6, I believe, is as well, because, you know, the 6 is the Zionist, you know, the 6, the 6 candles, and the 5 is Masonic, you know, Pentagon. It's kind of interesting how they use numerology and everything, but Skorzeny, Otto Skorzeny, is someone I think people really need to dig into and learn a lot about, because he was very involved with getting secret societies installed in Egypt, while Schwarzkopf's father, an immigrant, German, you know, wanting money and so forth, head of police in New Jersey, was sent over to mind control the Iranians. And someone, I read somewhere that there were more Masons, military mind control Masons in Iran than there were anywhere else. So I think their plan was to mind control these innocent sort of Arab, you know, desert people, kind of, you know, showing hospitality to everybody and, you know, to create a German, or not a German, but a Prussian sort of killer class of people using sex. And that's certainly what they did to the oldest sons of Ibn Saud at the Hun school where my husband went. Because they brought these boys over, innocent sons, oldest sons of the Saudi prince. And who was running that whole Hun school but these Marxist Zionists in Great Britain, the Russell Trust, which also owns the building that Skull and Bones at Yale is.
Yeah.
And that's no coincidence.
No.
Mind controlling young boys using sex. This is the old Marxist trick. The old Purim trick. And
well, you know,
when we look at
this case, you know, we know that they have a long experience in what works best and what doesn't, and using the Christian-based system against itself. In other words, Christians are basically shame-based people. In other words, we should feel ashamed if we injure another human being with rudeness or with an unkindness or an ignoble action. And they know this, so they can use the shame that most of us are born experiencing.
The Catholic Christian sort of moved into the Anglican Christian mind control hierarchical structure, yes. But the Cathars, the earliest Christians, the Cathars, who were around for the first 100 years, real followers of Jesus Christ, where men and women were equal, where they didn't ever kill. They were vegetarians. They had all the pretty women and all the guys, and they all were living on perched villages, and they were taking away all the people from this little Roman sick group. And Charles Martel in the 700s, and Pepin, I think he was the father of Charles Martel, that they all had either wives or little boyfriends. Murdered, massacred, tried to kill these beautiful earliest Christians where men and women were equal. And they ran, the survivors went up to Ireland, and they believed that each mountaintop, each little soil, each village was an entity unto itself. And there was you weren't allowed to have anything, anybody from above, any hierarchical structure, any guys telling you what to do. And this is what pure democracy, in my book, is all about. And it was the takeover of the Virginia Masons, who were all Scottish. Each group ran its own little chip. And that takeover by this sinister group from New York, coming down to Virginia at the time of Belmont and the train, they really, literally, infiltrated the Masonic movement in Virginia and made it just impure.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of those first handlers and criminals. I mean, we do know that, especially Civil War period, we had John Wilkes Booth went right back to Rothschild. We have the Jefferson Davis's finance minister of the South went right back to him.
Yes, Judah P. Benjamin, in fact, you see, Richmond was the Mecca.
Yep.
Richmond was the capital of the Confederacy. They moved up here. Why? Because Virginia produced all these Scottish wonderful thinkers, brave men like Madison and Monroe and Patrick Henry. These were all basically Scots who believed in the equality of man and women. I mean, basically they,
they knew that the Brits were wanting to get rid of the slavery, and you know, but the economy, it you want to get too deeply into the triangular trade with Scotland, which was run, the slave trading was run by British Rothschild folks right out of, it was Birmingham and Birmingham, England, and you know, but the point is, it was very profitable. But in their hearts and minds, people like Jefferson and Adams and up there in Massachusetts and Madison and John Marshall, all these Virginians were intellectual giants. They were all 6 feet tall, except for, I think Madison was a shorty. That's my side of the family. But, you know, very intellectual. All the women, my grandmothers, you know, readers and could speak other languages and play the piano and ride horses and shoot. I mean, just really outgoing, open-minded women. And these guys are afraid of intelligent women. They sort of marginalize them and call them Hillary Clintons. You know, they're afraid of them. Why? Because women understand. Women communicate. Women talk. Women spread the, you know, we tell the truth because we're trying to save this nation and this world. And I think the Scandinavians and the Germans have got women in positions of leadership. I think that
Merkel is bought and paid for. Sorry to tell you, she's working for them lock, stock, and barrel.
Well, they like the pretty ones that you know, Rummy or somebody can hop into bed with, so that, well, we won't do anything, you know, to, you know. But the point is, in general, and they are trying to destroy the Scandinavian culture, and I was involved with a whole operation, which is another story, and it's just horrible what they're trying to do to Norway. They've murdered some people, and I'm not going to go into that, but I know about that firsthand. They've got a lot of their cold weather training up there, and the Marine Corps is doing everything they can to ruin that culture from within, because this is what they do, and it's a great challenge to them to try and accomplish that goal. And America, I believe, because we have those 22 sites where the Arab, some of the Muslim societies are telling the truth about what the Israelis are doing to the Palestinians. Someone's got to stop this. This is not right. They're bullies. They've got huge bombs, expensive, billions of dollars. We, out of fear and cowardice, are giving to them. Because where are our intellectual giants? Well, they murdered Patton. They totally got rid of MacArthur.
Oh yes, MacArthur knew this whole conspiracy.
Knew what was going on, and he kind of got out of the way because they had him because of Kay Summersby, who was telling everything to the Irish.
Who, Eisenhower?
Eisenhower's girlfriend, Kay Summersby.
Yeah, well, Eisenhower actually is the one who let almost a million Germans starve to death after the war.
Well, Mark Clark, you see, was his man. Mark Clark was so preoccupied with his mistress, who was his driver, Kay Summersby, and that's why they got Eisenhower, because Mark Clark handled him. Patton was the one really who was wanted. But Mark Clark, a Zionist, and his whole family were controlling the Quartermaster Corps. This is one of the most corrupt men since Judith E. Benjamin and since Uriah P. Levy. He took lots of jewels and things and hid them in salt mines in Germany, and the whole same thing was done after the Russian Revolution, where Arm and Hammer and his crowd just stole the Russian eggs and, you know, I mean, just sold it in New York, you know, kind of their own little thing. And Arm and Hammer's best friend was Lenin. I mean, you know, pictures of Lenin in his office and Bragg
But Armin Hammer was doing business with some of these Israeli operatives in Egypt with guys like Gorbanifar who were working with my husband. And McFarlane and that whole crowd. The Marines run a lot of it because there are a lot of cherry Marines. And they are easily manipulated and controlled.
How in the heck are we going to unravel their criminality? How are we going to do it, Kate?
Well, it's already, I think, you know, for women, talking about mothers here in Norfolk, everybody knows. I mean, it's an open secret. And you can't believe how, I think they're very afraid because they know that everybody knows. And the same thing happened, in the 30s in Germany. The German high command, they had manipulated the leaders to be a child pedophile, like Armistead Maupin, and who was Chuck Colson's guy who worked in the, doing, I hate to say it, blow jobs, it's not very nice to say, in the Johnson and Nixon White House. You had the entire German high command, the elite, going to every religiously to Capri, Naples, and the party, you cannot believe, all nude with orchestras, and these little tiny Italian boys were brought into it by the priest, and then they went to these parties. And then they were used later on, the choir boy crowd, you know, the Free Corps crowd, the SA crowd, the Crystal Knight crowd. This was, as William Manchester called it, the German disease. And it's logical. Think about it. All these guys who have friends, you know, Clay Shaw worked for the German consulate in New York City. He was servicing the generals and so forth who, you know.
It's like this guy Gannon over at the White House?
Of course. I mean, yeah. I mean, this is the norm. This is, as you said, you can't move up unless you are one. They love pedophiles because pedophiles, and most of them are married, you know, like George Sr. They like little girls and little boys. And now it's sort of been brought out and you know, they're moving it to the whole Catholic Church. But it's the White House that's doing that, the old guard. And it shifted, I tracked it historically, from this Gorzany group, the Avir, Galen group who met, they were here for a year, you know, at Fort Hunt outside of Washington. My grandfather was meeting with them. He's a doctor and a German speaker in Norfolk and, you know, he was naval intelligence here in Norfolk meeting with Mountbatten. My mother had dinner with Mountbatten, but it was all sort of secret. And, all these Germans and the Zionist element were coming into Newport News. Now, I ask one question. There's on 911, there's going to be a movie that I noticed this when I was on the internet at my friend's house for just a little while. They're trying to blame everything on the Muslims. And they've got a movie that's coming out, oh boy, it's called Obsession. And it's written by a Canadian named Raphael Shore and a rabbi named Wayne Copping, South African, working with the Assassin Network in South Africa that was planning 911.
Mm-hmm.
And also involved with the poppy stuff in, you know, the ISI in Pakistan. And this movie is coming out, and guess where the opening night on September 11th is going to be? You think it would be in New York, Hollywood, maybe?
Norfolk.
Newport News, Virginia.
Yeah.
The committee, the 400 Club, is very, very, very vital.
Well, we've got censors. We've got New York. We've got Newport News. We have Chicago's very strong, Los Angeles. And also, for some reason, Cleveland seems to be a big center for these people.
That's a German place where all of the Millises, the guys who were working for the Zionists, the Marxists in France.
Yeah.
The underground.
Mm-hmm.
All of them, I mean, really, the Germans in Ohio, they changed their names, but Ohio is a German, almost a Nazi. I like Ohio, and I think Ohio is a fine place, but they tend to be very much that way. If you look, you scratch the surface and look at their, don't ever ask them who their father was. Because you get a hard look. You know, I'd love to tell you who my dad was. He was just wonderful. And my grandmothers, and I'm very proud of my old Scottish roots. But I've got a little bit of Belgian Jew in there that I found out about. My mother was trying to hide it. And they brought over they came into Keller, Virginia. And
mm-hmm.
they brought in the Masonic training school for Virginia in about 18, right about the during the war between states. And I can tell you that's another, but my mother doesn't like knowing that, or she probably knows it, but the point is I don't mind telling everything about myself.
Right.
But you have to be able to do that in order to, you know, have a clear conscience.
Well, you know, when we look at this, Kay, when we look at this whole conspiracy, I believe that they are doomed. I think they're going to lose this. In fact, I know they are. However, I know that every day that we hasten their demise is going to save a life. It's going to save suffering. It's going to stop illness and sickness from being perpetrated.
Yeah.
And so I work to try to save others because I know that their path to try to be successful is going to run through countless numbers of deaths and of innocents and take a look at what they did in Lebanon. I mean, and what they're still doing in Palestine. I know that these people have no regard for safety of human beings, and the worst thing is that they've co-opted the.
They laugh when they do it. You know, it's joy to them. They're worse than these what they say Hamas or whatever.
Well, they created those
exactly
guys.
Exactly the same thing. Only they're the perpetrators. They have birthed these secret societies, the Muslim Brotherhood.
Well, you know, we had a chance today to talk a lot of stuff here, and
yeah.
I got to tell you something, Kay. These are new subjects for you and I. We've gone through everything. We haven't spent as much time as you did with Reverend Strawcutter, but we've actually gone deeper, and
yeah.
We've actually made more connections.
My eyes have opened, and thank God we're in a country where you can still check out books, although they're working on that. And
yep.
I just want to see openness and truth and light, and I want to see ideals again, and I want to see these purveyors of darkness and death. Retired.
Well, you and I have been friends for a while now, and I got to tell you, I'm proud to know you. You're a good friend, and
well, you are too.
Well, you know, Kay.
Got a buddy on the other line. Is he there?
Yeah, he's there. Eric, are you with us? Eric's
yeah.
not with us.
Yes, I'm here.
There he is.
Oh, good. Hi, Eric. I'm sorry. I monopolized things. I apologize.
Oh, no problem.
Well.
I'm pooped.
Yeah, we've been through a lot here today.
I care so much, and I'm a mom and a grandmom and a woman, and I tend to be involved emotionally in seeking truth and what I do, and it's kind of cathartic, and it's wonderful that there are people who care and people who can communicate intelligently about these things and do it with love or with whatever you want to call it. In other words, try to get these guys out of, get some intelligent people who, because we've got a planet that's going to be, is messed up.
Oh, well,
we got to do something fast.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we
and
do.
And we got to get the bitches and grandmoms in all these little countries because they're ready to go, honey. Believe me. They're ready to have these guys go on an island and do whatever they want.
Well, Kay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to just keep fighting. And, you know,
yeah.
The fact is, you know, from time to time, I want to keep you in circulation so that, you know, one of the ways that you, from Ms. McClinton, you learned that we need to keep a profile in order to stay safe.
That's and I thank you for that. I thank you so much.
Well, you're always welcome to speak on the French Connection.
I got a letter 2 days ago from a girl in Norfolk who'd seen the video, and she just, I get letters, and I don't know how they get my address, but it's okay with me. But she said she was interested in doing a play, and I'm not interested in, you know, being a star in anything, but I'm just a seed that sprouted, and but to get a nice letter, and she's done some videos and so forth, and just to have her have watched me, and you know, it really is heartening to know that I haven't gone through this in vain.
No, you haven't, and you're a special gal in my heart. And I tell you, we're going to keep fighting, and we'll keep an eye on the French Connection because that's where a lot of the truth comes out.
Bless your heart.
And whenever you want to find me for any reason, if they're hassling you or problems, you send me an email to IamTheWitness.com.
Okay.
At hotmail.com, and you'll find me right there beside you.
Okay.
Thanks, Kay.
Bye bye.
Bye now.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Kay Griggs, of course. You know, every time she visits, there is so much in her words, so many connections to be made. You have to listen to this broadcast more than once, I believe, because it is that in depth, it is that important. She has firsthand accounts and first person knowledge of the people who are behind much of this, and knows the family structures and knows the people, you know, the friendships and the sick relationships that actually took place. And so you really do need to listen to Kay. She's not somebody who, you know, who just shoots from the hip. She's telling it like it is, and for that she deserves all of our praise. But until the next time, ladies and gentlemen, this is Daryl Bradford Smith saying bye-bye now. Be well.